We're up to the laws of Ribbis Chabeis. Let's review what we left off yesterday. V'davka b'schiras karka muta laharbos v'inyan hazeh. Yesterday we discussed the laws of rental. If a person arranges to rent an apartment and there is a discount given if money is paid in advance, that is not a problem of ribis meikar hadin, because ein schiris mishtalemes ela libesayf. The money is not owed until after the time period expires. If the arrangement is you're going to pay me $100 a month, so you're not chayav to pay according to Torah law until the month is over. So the market value is the loan. The arrangement is for $100. If the lender, if the leaser wants to, or the renter wants to give you a discount of $90 if you pay in advance, that's a gift. We don't view the difference between $90 and $100 over a 30-day period of time to be considered ribis, because the money is not owed until the 30 days expires. Now that's only true when it comes to schirus, the pasuk habeis. When it comes to service, v'davka b'tschirus karka mutu laharbos b'inyan hazeh, v'neisha karka niknes lo miyah, because the karka is given over, the land is given over to the renter immediately. The moment he's receiving possession immediately. But if you make an arrangement with a person, you're going to provide a service. I want you to do a service for me, and the one who's providing the service informs the one who hires him. If you pay me now, the price is less. If you pay me later, the price is more. Then it is osur. Why is it osur? Because you're not receiving anything at this moment in time. The property is the service is not beginning. It's not like karka, where the karka is immediately being given over at the moment in time. But when it comes to hiring, paying money for a worker, it's osur. What do we mean? If you hire a worker and the worker is going to provide a service in 30 days, and he provides the service and he gives him the money today, before he enters the malacha, and he's going to provide the service for a discount price, then it is zos osur. Why is it osur? It's basically ribis. Why is it ribis? Because let's explain. Because I'm hiring you, let's say, to paint my house. Okay, I'm hiring you to paint my house. And when will you paint my house? You'll paint my house in 30 days. And the painter says, the charge is $100. But if you pay me now, I'll take $90. But I'll paint it in 30 days from now. Okay, great deal. I'll pay you $90. When I give the painter $90, in essence, I've lent him $90. He has done nothing for me. Right? He's done nothing. Give me $90. I give him the $90. And what has he done? Nothing. So it's a loan. Nothing has transferred from me to him.
What if he bought the materials?
So he bought them. That's what he touches upon at the end of the sermon. If he starts right away, so maybe then we can say the work has begun. But let's discuss it in a more theoretical case. Now, by the way, I spent some time skimming through Rabbi Reisen's book, The Laws of Ribis. And I can basically tell you, everything is osur. Everything you could imagine. Almost everything that we've learned over here in these halachas where it says, this is mutter, that's mutter, not according to Rabbi Reisen. Because this is very theoretical and very abstract, and these are the yesodos. But halacha lemaisa, in the modern world, every single situation is structured in such a complex way, and there are so many variations, so many opinions. Basically, everything is us. The only heter is, which is a very, very big heter, for many, many things, and he actually touched upon this in the Shemus and Mahalacha in a few moments, we'll get to, is corporations. If you have a business, and the business has been incorporated, then according to Rav Moshe, many of your ribbis questions go away. There's no issue of ribbis when you're dealing with a corporation, even a corporation that is owned by Jews. I'm not sure of variations, but seemingly anything that's incorporated where you don't bear liability already is the laws. It's machlokes apayisk. Not everyone agrees to this, but Rav Moshe is lenient, and then a lot of the ribbis shailos go away. And basically, any legitimate business today, 99.9% of legitimate businesses today are incorporated. You can't exist. You can't file a tax return unless you're gonna incorporate your business. So these shylists are all like these mom and pop shops, basement businesses where they're giving merchandise to. It could be, I'm sure there are a lot of stores, probably like Eichler's. I'm sure there are some mom and pop shops, basement businesses who give in, tchotchkes and Judaica that just do this as a side, and they net. What is it called? That if two ten net 30, something like that is very big. If it's not in a corporation, also the year. That's what we assume. Any legitimate business is incorporated. But if you do have a small little business that is not incorporated, then you really got big problems. And the solution is not a big deal. You just have heteris, you fill out the form, and you make sure that a Rav takes care of it for you, someone who's knowledgeable in how to fill out the heteris form, then you're okay. But if you're not dealing with, but if you're a corporation, then again, a lot of these questions indeed go away. But let's just discuss the theoretical case. Here we have a situation where we have, let's say, our example of a painter. And the painter says to the customer, if you give me $90, if you pay me today, I'll give it to you I'll do the service for a discount of $90. If you're not going to pay me until I finish the job, then I'm going to charge you $100. The customer says, that's fine with me, I'm giving you $90 right now. And when will you come back and do the job? I'll come back in a week, in 2 weeks, in a month, I'll come back and do it. So in essence, by giving the painter $90, you have lent him $90. When he provides the service, he is providing a service that has a market value of $100. At least that's how much he evaluated his work. You agreed. The fact that he said to you,
90,
now,
it falsifies the 100.
Not necessarily. That's what business is all about. The whole world operates with this principle. I need money now. I need money right now, and it's worth it. I have faith. I'm going to turn $90 into $200. So it's worth it for me to take $90 down and give you back at a later point in time $100. The whole world is built on credit, built on trust. That's the economy. You can't go, you're dying raglayim, dollar dollars, without this concept of borrowing money with the belief you're going to make a lot of money, and it's worth it for me to pay you interest for use of the money for the short term. For the long term, whatever the situation is. So here, by giving the painter $90, you're lending him $90. When he will come back in a month from now and paint your home, he's providing a service that's worth $100. And you yourself, the customer himself, acknowledged that the service is worth $100 because you were originally willing to pay him $100 to do the service in 30 days. So in essence, the painter is giving you ribbis. By the painter we're giving you a service worth $100 when you've given him only $90, this is ribbis. Is it ribbis deraisa? No, because ribbis deraisa has to be a loan. I give you money, you give me back money, and has to be fixed from the very beginning. So it's not ribbis deraisa, but it's certainly ribbis derabanan, and it's certainly forbidden. What is the why? Now you'll ask me the question: why is this any different than the case we said before when it comes to schirus? There are truly two major differences. By the case of rental, what was the case of rental? The landowner says, if you live here, if you pay me after a month, you'll give me $100. But if you'll pay me in advance, then I'll take from you $90. The reason why that's different is because the moment when you give him the $90, at that moment in time, you're taking possession of the property. There's no delay. when it comes to rental, what's the purpose of rental? To live in the property. When do you start to live in the property? The moment you give the owner the $90. So we view it to be a transaction at that moment in time. I'm giving you $90, and you are immediately giving me back something at this moment in time. Ribis is only a problem when money is being paid for time. There is no time. I'm getting use of the property at this very moment in time. A second reason why it's permitted is because I don't really owe him the money. When I give him the $90, let's just put that aside for the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, there are a lot of you're right. That's why a lot of these halachas are not okay halachas l'maisa, because there are so many other issues, especially the security, and there are banks involved.
Security in a month's run.
Exactly. There are all other issues which have to be. But let's just look at this in a very abstract form, just to appreciate the basic yisodos, so that one day you'll have a chance, or you'll go to a good shir, and you'll hear someone talk about a modern day application of ribis. You'll have the background to understand what the issues are. So in the case where you're providing a service, the painter is not doing for you anything. I'm giving him $90 today, and he is not reciprocating at this moment in time with anything. So there's no way in the world that we can view this as a transaction. If I give you $90 and I immediately take possession of the property, okay, so there was a sale. I got something for my money. That's not called a loan. But the painter is not painting my house at this moment. The painter is going to first come back in 30 days from now. So at this moment in time, he has my money. I have nothing. If I have nothing and he has something, that fits in the category of a loan. When is he paying me back? In 30 days. Time. Oh, we have a new element. Time. And how much will he be paying me back? The equivalent of $100. More than I've given him. So this is a perfect storm. This right away involves what appears to be ribis. That is what he's coming to explain the difference between this case and the previous case. Yes?
If, let's say, the thing called security, let's say 3 months security, but in many cases the security is put into an escrow fund, where the landlord has no use of that.
No access to that money.
No access to that.
So it can still, it could be a problem. It's not really his. So that only intensifies the problem. If he does not have access to that money, so it's not.
No, but you get interest on it.
No, the tenant gets
interest. The tenant.
Okay, I don't know the answer. It's very complicated, and after skimming through Rabbi Reisen's book, it's going to be usser for sure. Everything there is usser. Things that you never even imagine are usser. And the only yet with the footnotes, it's a corporation, so the Yesh Matirim, and many people are nichshel in these halachas, not aware of how many situations involve potential for ribis. Okay, so let's read again the words inside. Mutter laharbas one more time halach chaval. Mutter laharbas haschar karka keitzad. Hiskir lois hachatzi av yamaloi koidim sheyachzik boi. No, I'm sorry, chavbeis. Stavka beschir was karka. Mutter laharbas binyan zeh. Nidnei she karka niknis lemiyod. Because in the case of the karka, you are immediately getting something in return. I'm giving you $90. I'm getting the property immediately. So we view it as a transaction. Av laharbas beschir was poil. But to get a discount for a service from a worker, is also binyan zed, the hainu shim shaykhir es ha'adam shi'at selay malachtai. If you hire a worker, and the arrangement is, the worker will provide the service, the achar zman, at a later point in time, and in the meantime, amaktim lois schara hayem kodim shniklas na malacha. I'm going to give him money in advance. Uvishvil zeh yas lois ha'malacha b'pachas min aroi. And because I give money in advance, in 30 days, he's going to come back and do the malacha for less than the market value. He's going to do work which is worth $100 for $90. Zos Oser. Why is it us the came with apoil eino mishtabed mehashta? The worker has no obligation at this moment in time to do the work. The worker first gets paid when he finishes the malacha. Havelek mahalva. At this moment in time, I've given him something. He has given me nothing in return. Ach, im apoil nichnas malachta miyat. But if I give him $90 and he starts to work immediately, it's going to take 30 days. In a normal situation, you pay when the service is complete. But the worker wants money in advance. However, he's going to start immediately. So I'm getting something in return. I'm giving you $90 and you're starting today. You're starting at this moment in time. So it's not a pure loan. It's not a pure loan. It's mutter. Afal pishlo yigmar esam alocha al yachar yom harbe mutter lahakim lo yischaro. You can give money in advance at this time. The shul shiyas she yaser bezol the cave and shiyas kol miyad malocha havelay schirus v'loy halva. So this is rental and it's not halva, and therefore it's not called the halva loan. Only the Torah loan is also not schirus, since the worker is working, you're already getting something in return for the labor. It is permitted in this fashion. Okay, now we go to, now he gives an example. Before he goes to now, there's only really one major section that's going to be the end. Is going to discuss when you get non-Jews involved, you're allowed to lend ribis to a non-Jew. That is permitted. And there are many complicated situations where you have Jews borrowing money between themselves in using a non-Jew as a guarantor, or the whole collection of scenarios. But before he gets to that section, he has one example about a nedunya, shiduchim. Motor laharbos b'nedunyas chasan. This is very frightening, how it talks about how son-in-laws who make arrangements with their father-in-laws. Mutar laharbos b'nedunyas chasanim. You're allowed to get ribis on what would seem to be ribis with the nedunya, the dowry of a son-in-law. What do we mean? What's the example? Go in shapasak nedunya lebitai. You a father of a kala at the tenoyim. Okay, in ancient times, in the tenoyim they would actually write how much is the father of the kala will he give. The chasim will give the couple for the next year, for the next 2 years, next 5 years, whatever it is. So he writes in the shtar, I'm going to give $1,000 for the next 2 years. Sheposak nedunya lebitoi vehisnim chasanei. What? Vehisne? I don't know.
$1,000?
I don't know what goes on. What? And he says to the son-in-law, he says, this is my son-in-law, the day after the wedding, I got bad news to tell you. I'm broke. I promised I would give you $1,000, let's say, a month. I'm making up some numbers. I have no idea what I'm saying. But I don't have the money. So you know what? Listen, last night was the wedding. You got a lot of presents. You have plenty of money to live off. Yeah, maybe you have a job. Halavai, he has a job. You have a job, so you have income. I don't have income. You're better off than me. But I wrote in the Tanoim. A document is a document. I signed away my life. I signed in the Tanoim, I'm going to give you X number of dollars for a period of time. I don't have the money. So you know what? I won't give it to you on the due date. I'll give it to you later, and I'll give you a bonus. So you'll survive. You have plenty of money in the bank. You'll have what to eat. And instead of paying you in a month, I'll pay you in 3 months, and I'll give you an extra $25. Would you be so kind to make this arrangement? So the son-in-law says, no way. No way. But let's say the son-in-law is willing to agree, is there a problem of ribis? Because the father said, I'm giving you X amount of dollars, but because there will be a delay, you will get more. Ooh, you get more. So you're paying for time. You're paying for time that automatically involves ribis. So the answer is, in this case, it's mutter. It's pikuach nefesh. No. It's mutter because the father, it's not a loan. The nedunya is a gift. It's not an entitlement. Oh, powerful Musa. A loan is an entitlement. I gave you money. I'm entitled to get my money back. A nedunya is not an entitlement. Yeah. Would it be a mekach tos? No. Why should mekach tos? If he signs...
He signed the document.
And he couldn't afford to do so?
Could he get rid of his wife?
What?
The marriage is a null.
I don't think so. I can't imagine. It's not a tefah. It's an ikofel. I can't imagine such a thing. Without a get.
Depends where you go. Where
you get? It's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine such a thing. So mutal habas bin dunyas khasam going to pass the deal bit of his name a khasan she kol shana she ani at slice in dunya. So he says to his son-in-law that if you don't demand for me payment for every year that you don't demand, I give you the dunya, yitain loy kakh ve kakh sakhar, I'll give you a bonus. for all the time that you don't demand payments, even though I signed in the shtar, I will give you the dunya. Also, this is shaila of ribbits. No, it's not. It's smut. Why? Because the dunya is not called in halacha a loan, even though it's a shtar and he signed on the shtar. It's not a loan. It's a gift. She'ein ze ele k'moisif lo nedunya uchi'ilu amalo, and in those in l'cha matonah, I give you a gift, kach v'kach l'zman ploni, v'im loy etin l'cha l'zman ploni od, and in most of l'cha kach v'kach, I don't give you the gift, at this certain period of time, I'll give you more, the mutter. That's not called a loan. V'davka,
k'shis,
what? Exactly. It's not a loan. That's exactly what it's saying. V'davka k'shehistulo miyad b'shas k'sivas ha'tunayim. Davka, when he made this stipulation at the time when they wrote the tunayim, the came with yarat lo hoya olav shum chiyuv im kena kol hu chiyuv echot. Avol, so he says not so fast. That's only when this condition really, really destroys the entire thing. Like I told you, everything is asur. That's only when he actually writes this condition into the tanoim at the time of the engagement. At the time of the engagement, he writes in the shtar, I'm going to give you for every year on this, by this date, I'm going to give you the nedunya. And if I don't give you this amount of money on this date of this year, then there's going to be a knas. There's going to be a penalty. I'm going to give you even more. I'm going to give you a bonus. But if he did not put this clause in the tanoim only simply, I'm going to give you a certain amount of money every single year, and at a later point in time, he can't pay, and now he wants to change the conditions, he wants to say, just do me a favor, don't demand payment, I'll give you a bonus, then already it's ribbis. Because since he already signed the document, there was no condition in this, and originally, it's only later, so it turns into a loan. The cave on the arat lohoyol of shumchiyav ha-ben ha-kol chivechot. Avol im b'shas k'sivas ha-tunoyim nischayiv v'stam kach nedunya u'v'shas sach nedunya u'v'shas ha-chasana loitzim lehispasher. They want to make come to an arrangement, to an agreement. Lo says lo dover ma b'shul har-chavas man osir, because then already zokvan alab milva, by writing a shtar that I owe you $1,000, and I did not put a clause in the shtar that there will be penalty. If I don't pay on time, then I'll pay you more money. And you just wrote stam, I owe you $1,000. And now at a later point in time, you can't pay the $1,000. And you tell me, do me a favor, let's just extend the loan and I'll give you more money. It's too late. The obligation has turned into a chayv. And by extending, by adding more money for an extension of time, that is ribbis. Also, the tzrich lasos b'derech heter has to be done in a proper way, and that's going to be done in the next siman. Siman Samach Vav will tell you exactly what to do when you find yourself in such a situation.
You can't have an addendum. You can't add to it a different piece of paper.
No.
Because it's a
contract. Only no. Even and a regular loan. If this would have been a regular loan, just think about it. Let's take a step back to clarify. If I lend you $100. And I write in the shtar that you will pay. I will pay you back $100, and if I don't pay you back at this time, I'll pay you back more at a later point in time. That's ribis deraisa. That's in the shtar itself. So that is mutter by tanoim, because tanoim is not a loan. Tanoim is a gift. But if you would make the same exact stipulation when you lend money, it would be ribis deraisa. Here, the chiddush is that but if you don't make the stipulation, you just write in the dunya, I'm going to give you a gift, and then at a later point in time, you want to extend, you want to make a condition, that would already be a problem, because already it's too late. It's what's called in the Gemara, zakvan Allah b'milve. Okay, let's go to the next halacha. Maybe we should first do here this very interesting shonim from halacha. It's not necessarily halacha l'maisa, because this is Yud Aleph on page Shin Lamed. Yud Aleph is the very bottom. No. This is already first. So that's already the next halacha. Okay, that's halacha. Okay, let's go to halacha of Dal. Let's go for Yisrael Shlav Me'akum Beribis. Okay, that's mutter. A Yisrael is allowed to borrow money from a non-Jew with the agreement that he'll pay back more money. The Yisrael Acher Yihye Orev. Who's the guarantor for the loan? Another Jew. In case Jew number one does not pay back the money, then Jew number two, Shimon, if Reuven does not pay back the goy, Shimon will pay back the goy. So that what's going to happen then at that point in time? Shimon's then going to go to Reuven and say, Reuven, I paid back your choif. I pay back the money to the guy. You owe me the money. How much do you owe me? You owe me. You owe me whatever I paid. So let's say the loan was for $100, and the agreement was that Reuven would pay back the guy $150. Reuven did not pay back the money, so Shimon had to pay back the $150. So Reuven now has to pay Shimon $150. So it comes out that Reuven borrowed $100, and Reuven is paying back $150. To who is he paying back? He's paying it back. No, Reuven is really paying it back now to Shimon. So it's not a pure riddus, because I did not borrow money. I did not borrow $100 from Shimon. I borrowed the $100 from Reuven. So it's not pure riddus, but it borders riddus, because the bottom line is, I borrowed $100. I'm paying back $150 to who? To a Jew. It has a half of the ribbis. The borrowing. It's a reimbursement, but in the big, when ribbis, you always have to look in ribbis. This is the Yisoid Adavar. That's the whole Rabbi Reisman's book. And the whole book is all with this principle. The principle is ribbis deraisa is very limited. Has to be a loan, has to be set between two Jews. It's very hard to be even ribbis deraisa. It's not so easy to have all the, according to all the opinions. But ribbis derabbanan is the easiest thing in the world. Only have to have, you take something and you give back more over time. Very easy. Every transaction has potential for ribbis. I take $100, I give back $150, 30 days later, a year later, to another Jew. I'm not giving it back to the guy because I got into a lot of trouble. I didn't give back the money to the guy. I had no money. So the guy went and got the money back from Shimon. Now Shimon's knocking on my door. I don't want to be his enemy. I don't want to have trouble with him. I now got a job. I made back my money. I'll give him back the $150. I borrowed $100. I gave back more over time to another Jew. Is there, in the big picture of things, does this look like ribbis? It certainly does. But here is the halacha. It's mutter. I'm sure in a Reisman's book you'll find a scenario just like this where it's asa. Modern day scenario. But at least conceptually speaking, this is permitted. Yisrael Shlav Me'akum Beribis, well, depends. He gives the different conditions. What kind of object? It's an Arif, two different types of cosigners. Yisrael Shlav Me'akum Beribis, Yisrael Acher Yerif. Imhu Be'inyin Shein Ha'akum Yochol Litboya Tchila Ela Es Haloive. So the only time it's mutter is if the guy can only collect from Reuven first. The acha shaloi yeh ef shalit bois min aloive. And when Reuven does not have money to pay, then oz yochel lit bois min arif, then the guy is able to collect from Shimon. In this situation, only it is mutter. Aval, but this is also aval, im hu be'inyin shrakum yochel lit bois atchilo es ha'ore. But if you have a loan, you structure the loan such that the guy is permitted, l'chatchila, to collect from whoever he wants. If the guy wants, he can go to Shimon and say, Shimon, you owe me $150. And Shimon does not have the right to say no, because that's how they structured the loan. The guy can take him to a Jewish court, and the Jewish court will say, you must pay him because you signed on the dotted line that you will pay for Reuven if the guy so decides to collect from you. In Cain, Havei, in Halacha, we view this to be Osir. Ki'ilu he'orev lovim in ha'akam. We view as if the orev borrowed. Here's the lumnus. The cosigner borrowed the money from the guy. So that's one transaction. That's old news. That's like 100 years ago. The guy, the Shimon, borrowed $100 from a non-Jew. We don't care about that. We don't care. Shimon has in his possession money. We don't care how he got it. He earned it. Or he borrowed it. He has it. And now Shimon is giving that $100 to Reuven. He's lending it to Reuven. And Reuven's going to pay back now to Shimon $150. That's a pure loan. That's a loan between Reuven and Shimon. That's how we view this transaction in Halacha. So it's clearly Aser. Now, another example. What's another example of where it's forbidden? Ha'akum, Shalavim Yisrael, Beribis, a guy borrows from Yisrael Beribis. The guy promised to pay back Reuven $150. The Yisrael Acher Hu Orev, and another Jew is the guarantor. The guy is borrowing the money, and the guy is only willing, and the Jew is only willing to lend money to the guy because another Jew guaranteed the loan. So imhu beinyan, if this loan is structured such, ein hamal veyocholit boyatchila elo esha'akum haloive, if the structure where the Jew can only go to the guy first, the achar kach lo yimse etzalakum haloive oz yigve min ha'ariv muter. Because in that case, the loan is not being conducted, it's not structured between the Jew and a Jew, it's purely between a Jew and a guy. B'shvil, one second, oz yigve muter, but but if one Jew can go and collect from the other Jew, in Cain, Ha'orev, Hu, Kimoiloive, we view the co-sonner as the borrower of the Osir and its Osir. The Im, Ha'yishol, Orev, Rak, Ba'at HaKeren, Vloy, Ba'at HaRibis, Mutter. Very interesting case. Let's say the co-signer, I'm a co-signer, and the guy can collect from me first, but he can only collect from me first the principal. He can't collect from me first the interest. So you break up the loan. I'm going to borrow from a non-Jew $100, and I promise to pay back the non-Jew $150. And the non-Jew wants a co-signer, and another Jew is the co-signer. But the other Jew who is the co-signer says, "You only can collect from me first the principal, but you can't collect from me first the interest, the extra $50. I'll only pay you the extra $50 after you attempt to collect from Reuven. If Reuven doesn't pay you the interest, then you can come collect from me the interest. But the principal, that you can collect from me first." So this is mutter. Because here, yeah.
But it's mashma that the Arev did not accept any responsibility for the ribbis. I mean, for the interest. He says, "V'im Yisrael Ariv Rak Biyana Keren." He says, "I'm only co-signing for the principal. You can never collect from me."
Uh-huh. Okay, so what will the halacha be in the other case? He doesn't discuss the other case. Good point. V'im Ariv Rak Biyana Keren V'loy Biyana Ribis Mutter. Then it's okay. I don't know the answer. Here you're saying.
Well, he
has a piece of paper.
He's guaranteed his principal.
We have two Jews, and there is a Yisrael Achayav. There's no ribbis involved in this. Okay, there's no ribbis. It's two Jews. I'm borrowing money from you, and there's a third Jew who's going to be the co-signer. So there's no ribbis, but the haloyve meshalem lo avur zeh. The borrower is paying the co-signer to be the co-signer. So does that, do we say there is some degree because the borrower is giving back more than what he gets? I'm borrowing $100. I'm giving back $100 plus a little bit more. I'm paying a service. So do we view the service? So on the one hand, why? What should be the problem? Shouldn't be the problem because I'm not. It's not for the loan. The money I'm giving the co-signer is a service. It's a service fee. But on the other hand, any time you get involved with money, money is being borrowed, money is being paid back, and you're paying back more than what you're borrowing over a period of time. It resembles ribbis. It might be a ribbis derabbanan, and ribbis is a form of ribbis. So this is a shayla. Sh'ataz v'ashach v'nekudas hakesef makil l'lin. There's no problem. What are you doing over here? You're just paying for a service. But he hadas achavasiyo l'hachmi ayin sham. He holds that it resembles ribbis because you're paying already. You're giving back more than what you are taking over for a transaction. Over time, it has the resemblance of ribbis midrabban. It's a very big chiddush, a very big chumrah. Okay, it's a very big chumrah. Okay, that's what he said. Now let's see here the shi'onim mitzvah Allah. He talks about corporations. Okay, just to touch upon the issues, I'm not going to go into too much detail because here we're dealing with. Let's see. Yud Aleph v'haloyve Yisrael v'haloyve Yisrael v'haloyve Oser. Yud Aleph refers to. Im can have the kilo harv loyve min agav chavim halevi yisrael v'hilve v'aser ayin b'shut mahar shag be'echad shebikesh miyididoy lahalves leimos layidei habank. Okay, a person wants to borrow money to a bank. V'holach amalve lahabank umasa sham shtar chayv im chasima siyado, the kibul hamos mea bank, umasa lehaloive, and he gives money to the loive. So the question over here is, you're using, what do you really do? This gets involved in how do checks work. Your friend wants to borrow money. Every time you lend money to your friend with a check, you're really borrowing money. You're using the bank. The bank is the guarantor, is the orif. Well, the bank is.
Not really.
Well, let's take a look. Let's see what it says. V'holach ha'malva la'bank. The malva went to the bank. U'mos ha'shem shtar chayv im chasimas yada. He wrote a check. The kibul ha'mois me'ha'bank. U'mos ha'la'loive. And he gives the money to the loive. So what appears over here is the person is borrowing from the bank. He's not using his own money.
Right.
The person is borrowing. He's taking out a mortgage. Okay. He's borrowing money from the bank. And he's not using it for himself. He's giving the money to his child. He's taking out a mortgage. His son wants to buy a house. Right? This is a very common shaila. Someone's child wants to buy a house, and the child does not have enough credit, does not have a job. Okay, and the bank, no way in the world will a bank give you a mortgage to a person that does not have a stable source of income. So they're not willing to give you. So who takes out the mortgage? The parents. And who's going to pay? I don't know how the children. No. This is not a reality show. This is make-believe. Who's paying the payments? The children. So somehow the children have some, I don't know, they have a job. Obviously, we're going to the situation, let's say, where the children have income. It's just that it doesn't off the books, or the bank doesn't have faith, which is very common. The type of job that the children have, the bank doesn't have faith that they will be able to continue to pay. They don't have the credit score. So the ones that have take out the mortgage are the parents. But the one that's paying back the interest, the mortgage, are the children. So look at the Shaila. So this should be a situation of ribis. And indeed it is. This is a problem because the children are paying back the bank the loan. Let's read what it says. The Reuven, he takes out a loan. The kibul hamos mea bank umosa lahaloyve i ein chashash. Is there a problem in this situation? Is there no problem? Kinire shamalve hu loyve neged bali habank. The malve is the borrower neged bali habank. Umeshalim lohem ribis, and you're paying back to the bank ribis. You're paying back the person who took out the mortgage is paying back ribis. And he goes and he lends the money to the loive. So who do we view the ribis as being paid to? So now this is exactly our situation. When the children pay off the mortgage, they're paying ribis. They receive, let's say, $1,000. And they now have an obligation to pay back the bank $2,000. But they're going through the person who took out the mortgage, took out the loan. And the person who took out the loan was Yisrael. So the one that actually gave the money was a non-Jew. The bank issued $1,000. The bank wants back $2,000. And that's between the Goy and Reuven. But Reuven is taking the $1,000, is giving the $1,000 to Shimon. And Shimon's going to be paying back the bank the $2,000. But when Shimon's taking back the bank $2,000, it's really being paid $2,000 to Reuven, who is in turn paying back the bank, giving back the money. So really, Shimon has borrowed $1,000 from Reuven, and Shimon is paying back Reuven $2,000. Or do we say, since the bank is in between, it's viewed back? So obviously it's very complicated. It all depends how it's structured. Every situation is different and gets very complicated. It's forbidden. The only way this would be permitted is if basically Reuven is just a guarantor. Is the mortgage is signed on the name of Shimon. Shimon has to sign the dotted line, and Reuven is just going to be an Orev. But we just learned that's not so simple. Who does the bank have a right to collect from first? If the bank has a right to collect the money first from Reuven, then it would also be forbidden. I'm not exactly sure what this means, but basically means you have to, it has to be structured the right way. I don't know the details. Elish is dinze yesh oid machloikis boik mashakos of hashach shom al kain lechatchila ein leshleich al alavai samalve liatzme eleish acher afilu echem ibnei beisosh al alavai samalve. Okay, so this gets very complicated. Bottom line is you're borrowing money from a guy, you're giving it to another Jew. Interest is going to be paid. Since interest is only going to be paid because there is a middleman who is another Jew, then it right away sets yourself up for a situation of ribis. And even if you're going to structure in a way which seems to be good, since one person's, of course, you need the middle another Jew because he has to be the guarantor, and the guarantor has liability, and what point in time does the bank have a right to collect from him? Obviously, it gets very complicated, and basically, it's always going to be usur unless you sign a heter iska.
Right, because who controls the terms of the agreement? The bank controls the terms.
And the bank will always get its money no matter what. The bank is guaranteed to get its money, and the only reason why the bank is giving money you're involving. Again, I don't know the details, but here we have a situation, there's two Jews involved, even though there's a guy involved, and interest is going to be paid, it's going to create a problem, and therefore you need a heter iska. Okay, let us stop here.